Morning, everyone. We're going to pick up in the next passage of 1 Peter this morning, but I'm not really going to preach a normal full-length message from this next passage. Instead, I'm going to pick up on a sub-point in this next passage that makes this short message this morning really an introduction to Josh and what Josh is going to share with us when he comes up after me. Remember, 1 Peter is written by Peter. And Kellen just read for us from Acts, and that was Peter speaking. And you notice, did you hear, did you pay attention, do you believe what Peter said? There is no other name given by which a man must be saved. No other name. There's no option B, C, a hybrid of B and C. There's no alternative. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the only means for salvation. It's the very name that the Pharisees and the leaders wanted them to stop mentioning. They couldn't deny that the crippled man outside the temple was healed. And Peter says, if we're here because of the means by which this man has been saved, let me tell you something. There is no means by which anyone can be saved other than Jesus. And at that they cringe. Stop saying his name. Stop teaching in his name. And Peter says, well, you can judge for yourself whether it's right for us to listen to you or God. We're going to keep preaching Jesus. And in 1 Peter, that's where we are now, Peter is continually, again and again, reminding Christians, and I'm just going to say Christians, because that includes both the original hearers of the letter, as well as Christians from that time forward who may read 1 Peter. He is continually reminding Christians of this great privilege they have in this salvation that they have, a salvation the prophets didn't fully understand as they proclaimed the coming of the Messiah, a salvation which angels long to look into. Again and again, he reminds them of this great privilege that they have. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice he says, has caused us. Peter puts himself right there with the original hearers and us today. Any Christian has been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Any other name? It's not a living hope, it's a dead hope, it's an empty hope, it's a useless hope, it's a hopeless hope. Talk about hoping against hope, that's when you have a hope that isn't anyone and anything other than Jesus Christ. But Peter continually reminds them of this privilege that we have as Christians. We have this living hope, he goes on. We have this inheritance, verse 4, that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. And how is this comes about? Back to verse 3, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that salvation is only through him. There is no other name by which anyone can be saved. This isn't the American religion, which didn't start here anyway. This is the only religion. Back in his day, In the early days of the United States, Jonathan Edwards and others would use the term religion and religious. And what they meant was this, faith in Christ. There was no other religion. We use that term now to speak of any religious belief. We say religion. But there's only one religion. There's only one salvation. And the only means for that salvation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Chapter 1 also of Peter, verse 20, says, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for your sake. Again, the privilege. Here he says, for your sake. He could have said, for our sake, because it was for his sake as well. He said, he included himself when he said, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus has been made manifest for your sake, he says, for the sake of Christians. Verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Lots of people walk around saying, oh, I believe in God. I have faith. Really? Which God? What's your faith in? There is only one way to have a faith and a hope that are real and lasting. Earlier in chapter 1, he talks about faith being of greater worth than gold or refined by fire. Why is it of great value? Because of the object of it, Jesus Christ. And again in verse 22, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. You see, he brings up this privilege that they have. And how is it that they've been born again? Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It's a sub-point here, and the point that's a sub-point here is that this rebirth, this being born again to a living hope, has taken place through Jesus Christ, His resurrection from the dead, and faith in Him has come through what? Through the living and abiding, verse 23, Word of God. Everything is going to pass, whether it's grass or flowers, beautiful or mundane, it's all going to pass, but the Word of the Lord, verse 25, remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. I missed the passage. Back up in verse 12. It was revealed to them, the prophets of old, that they were serving not themselves, but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you. And this is the word. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This great privilege that you have, Peter says to the Christians then and now to all of us, that we have, is a privilege like none other. A privilege the prophets didn't have. A privilege the angels don't have. You may be exiles. You may be strangers. You may be aliens. You may not fit in here. You may have been chased out of your hometown. By your own family even. But you have this great privilege. And in this passage, 22-25, there's this sub-point that the means by which this salvation comes to a person, that the only means for salvation is through Jesus Christ, the means by which that good news comes is the preaching of it. It is the Word of God which remains forever. In verse 23, you can go either way with the original. Is it the living, is it the Word of the living? Excuse me, is it the abiding Word of the living God? Or is it the living and abiding Word of God? And it really doesn't make any difference, because if the Word is living and abiding, it's only because it's God's Word who is living and abiding. He is living and abiding, so His Word is living and abiding. Everything else is going to pass, but not so with His Word. It remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. Again, in Peter, He's continually reminding them of the privilege that they have, the position that they have, the grace that has been lavished upon him. And Lord willing, we'll get to this passage again next week and what he's after in this passage and his point, I'm picking up on a sub-point here. That privilege comes only through one means. The gospel. The word of God must be read or heard. People don't dream it and get saved. Okay? They don't walk through the wilderness and the leaves don't spell it out on the ground. Clouds don't form making pictures of some guy walking around sinless who dies on a cross, is buried, and then raises again. It's got to come in words. The gospel has to be preached. It has to be shared. It has to be proclaimed. There is one means for salvation for everyone and anyone. And that is Jesus Christ. And there's only one means by which they may come to know that one and only means of salvation. There's only one way to come to know Jesus Christ. And that is through hearing or reading about Him. That's it. One way. Go tonight. Find out what the intolerance of intolerance is all about. I'll tell you what it's about to a certain degree. Not that I'm D.A. Carson remotely. But we no longer allow anyone to say in this country that only one thing is right. And if you say one thing is right, well, you're intolerant, and we don't want any of it. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because they're being intolerant of someone saying, no, there's one right way. And the foolishness, the stupidity of our sin in America is to look over at the East and think, we need to be more like them. Get a clue. Go to India, and there's only one way according to them. It's Hinduism. And it means you're born in classes. And they have young girls serving in temples, and it's not in a way that you'd want a young girl to serve. That's Hinduism. Okay? And it's not just the radical Muslims. It's any Muslim who's going to hold rightly to the Quran. The radical Muslims are the only ones that are reading the Quran rightly and applying it. The other ones are morphing it and changing it. There is only one God, and Muhammad is His prophet, and if you don't believe that, death! They believe that there's one truth. It's only here that we think we're all pie in the sky and say the only one truth is that there isn't one truth. Except our truth, that there isn't one truth. But the truth is, there is truth. There's only one means of salvation. His name is Jesus Christ, and there's only one means to hearing, to knowing, to coming, to believe in Jesus Christ, and that is through the gospel coming to you. By word, in person, over the radio, in the internet, reading it. There's no other way. Now, I would be a very popular man if I were to pull up in my uncle's neighborhood in New Jersey right now with a tractor trailer full of generators and cans of gas. Matter of fact, my uncle yesterday asked me, does your father have any gas cans at his house? Because I have a generator now, but I can't get gas. I only have one little gas can. The generator goes through about 5 gallons of gas a day, and we're just trying to stay warm. They have the refrigerator off. They just want some heat. Right? I'd be a very popular man if I were to pull up with a tractor trailer full of gas cans, full of gas, and generators that worked. But you know what they need more than electricity? You know what they need more than gas and gas cans? There was a woman from Long Island on the news. I watched it this week. We're going to die here. It's freezing. You got to get the heat on. We're going to die. You know what, ma'am? I'm sorry you don't have electricity. And you're right. You are going to die. Sooner or later. Probably not because you're going to freeze to death in 40 to 50 degree weather. With blankets and warm clothing. Okay? But sooner or later, you will die. Your body will be fertilizer. You'll be pushing up daisies. And all the electricity in the world is not going to save you. Better to have no electricity, no generator, no heat, no house, and to have Jesus. Is it not? What they need, what we need, more than a different president, more than a better economy, more than new clothes, more than a meal in my belly, is Jesus Christ. For apart from Him, there is no hope. There is no life. Not here, not never, not ever. There is only one means There's only one way in which anyone can be forgiven of their sins, cleansed of their sins, reconciled to their Creator, and that is through Jesus Christ, who has died, was buried, and rose again. And there's only one way, there's only one means by which anyone can come to know about Jesus Christ, and that is through His Word, through the Gospel. Preached, read, some way or another, in print or from a person, not in the sky, not in the sand, not in dreams, not in the trees. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Again, this is actually a subpoint in Paul's argument here in Romans. But in Romans 10, 13, he says this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they here without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I would be a popular man here and now if I drove into my aunt and uncle's neighborhood with a tractor trailer full of gas cans full of gas and generators. But how much greater rejoicing there will be when those who hear the good news and believe enter into glory together. There is only one way. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and only the name of the Lord will be saved. But they can't call on Him of whom they have not heard of. And they can't hear unless they're preached to, and they can't be preached to unless someone goes. And guess what? They've got to hear it in their own language. You are reading English Bibles. It was written in Greek, the stuff we're reading this morning. Jesus did not walk around speaking English. We've heard it in our own language. We have it in our own language. Josh, come on up. Josh, I met Josh at the Exalting Christ Conference. It's a couple months ago. Feels longer because of the stuff going on with the Room Edition. And found out he was going to Indonesia to get the gospel into the language of people who do not have it. And by the grace of God, from my perspective, they weren't able to go yet, so they're still here. So he's here this morning. I'm going to hand off the microphone, and he's going to tell you what's going on there.
All right. Good morning. Yeah, we're really thankful for the opportunity this morning to just come here and get to share with you. And it sure is, just reminds us how much we have to be thankful for just hearing Pastor preach this morning. And, the gratitude that we can have because the gospel is preached to us in our language, in the language that we can hear. And, I grew up in church, grew up listening to missionary speakers and knowing that, and hearing that there was still need for the gospel to be preached in places around the world. And yet, for me personally, that didn't become apparently true until I got to spend time in Indonesia for the first time in January 2005. I just had an opportunity to go and live in Indonesia for 3 months and spent time with a number of missionaries there, and got to spend time fellowshipping with a church that were all first generation believers. Just hearing them recount in their lifetime of how they went from never having heard the name of Jesus Christ to now. Getting to fellowship with them, getting to hear their testimony, and getting to see them serving God and growing. And that was such an amazing experience. But then, too, just hearing about the need and how many distinct language groups there were still throughout the country of Indonesia without the gospel. And I spent time with a missionary couple who'd been on the field for years. They were in a leadership role trying to mobilize and get servants of God into areas where there was still no gospel being preached. And they said just in their region, in the island of Papua, that they knew of 50 different distinct language groups that if there were you know, 50 different missionary couples ready to move into those tribes at that time that they could place them. And I remember sitting there at dinner with them, hearing that, and then trying to go to sleep that night and not being able to sleep, and just, man, God, why is there still such a need? And the doors are open. I mean, for years it was hard to get a visa to go to Indonesia, and right now we have, you know, there is an open door, and who knows how long that'll stay open. And yet, there's still the lack is people going, and just laying there at night, just thinking, all right, God, would you have me be a part of this? And could I even go? And just all these different, different fears I had, different reasons I could come up with, you know, just laying them before God, like, what about this? What about that? And everything I could think of, He was just giving me peace and just saying, you know what, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. And so I was just greatly reconfirmed, encouraged when I got home and got to share that, what God had put on my heart with our pastors and with our missions committee, and just having our church just say, yes, you should go and we will send you. And it's been a journey since then. It's been 7 years now, and went to Bible school for a couple of years. Bethany and I ended up courting and dating. She grew up in the same church that I grew up in, and we ended up getting married, and she really wanted to go to Bible school, and she went to Bible school a year after me. We ended up going to Missouri and spending 2.5 years in missionary training center there with new tribes, just learning everything about how to learn culture and language, how to minister to people who you really know nothing about, and how to spend that time to get to know people and know why they do what they do, and how to love people before we even can speak their language, and just how to learn language and learn to speak well. And so we felt very equipped, and yet at the same time the task was just so huge and so overwhelming, and we really just committed to heading back to Indonesia with the gospel one day, just knowing, just I was going to read, you know, that passage from Romans 10 the pastor just read, but truly, like, seeing the fact that there's people without the gospel being preached at all in their language, and knowing that without someone going with the gospel, they would not hear, and they would not have the ability to call on the one and only God. And so, just with, you know, that renewed motivation, we continued forward, and we, you know, look forward to being able to preach God's word and to disciple believers and get to see a church, a body of believers built up and growing in an area where there is no body of believers right now. I have a video that I want to show before I continue on any further, and just so you guys have a visual of what we're talking about when we talk about living in a remote tribal area, and what we, you know, and just hearing testimony of those who have been without the gospel, and just seeing what the amazing work that God has done and is currently doing throughout the world, but specifically in Indonesia. So watch this video.